been called the Gospel of Isaiah, or the Gospel of Christ, according to Isaiah. It was written some 750 years before the birth of Christ, and Isaiah is often called the prophet of redemption. 62nd chapter with me. Please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Remain standing for prayer and for the reading after we pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Remain standing. Isaiah chapter 62 at verse number 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now look down at verse 12. The first part of that verse says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Amen. And if you're not saved, listen very carefully. If you're here today without Christ, I want you to know that 41 years ago, Worth Baptist Church was organized to bring you the gospel on October 1, 1995. We've been working on it for 41 years. If you need a church home today, for 41 years, Worth Baptist Church has come day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year to this point in our history. And I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, having been pastor for 34 years, I'm convinced that the new Sunday school and stewardship year that begins today will be the best year in our history. Amen. I'm excited about what God is going to do in the days ahead. And I want you to share in these days. And may you get the gist of it, the thrust of it tonight in our banquet with a great challenge. And I hope that you'll be in your place at 6 o'clock for a very special message. And then at 7 for some wonderful things that we'll be sharing together. Now, Isaiah chapter 62, the verses that I've read to you, have a primary application and a secondary application. And this is true with much of the Word of God. In this instance, the primary application, ladies and gentlemen, is to the nation Israel, whose center is the city of Jerusalem. So God is saying to Jerusalem and to Israel, I'm not going to rest until my righteousness has covered you. Now, the secondary application is to us as believers in this generation, to us who know Christ today in this hour. Now, please look up this way, folks. You can, and I don't mind you writing some if you're writing down the message, but get it on tape. It's on video. It's on audio. I want you to look right at the preacher this morning. Listen to what I'm saying. These verses refer to you and to me and to every born-again believer. And what does God say about it? Look at it. Verse 3 says, you're going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And that verse also says you're going to be a royal diadem in the hand of God. And look at verse 5. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. We had an illustration of that here last night. Bridegroom rejoicing over the bride. So shall God rejoice over you. Now, you need to understand the meaning of two words in verse 4. Look at them again. Verse 4, the word Hephzibah means the Lord delights in you. Now let me ask you a question. Does God delight in you? Say, when you get down to pray, dear Lord, does God say, oh dear me, there he is again? Or does he delight in your offerings of prayer and sacrifice? Is God happy with you? Let me ask you another question. Does God really like you? Oh, now, Pastor, you know God. Now, wait a minute. I didn't ask you, does God love you? I know he loves you, but does he like you? Does God really rejoice over you? Does he rejoice over your Christian experience, your fellowship, your dedication, your commitment, your stewardship program, your soul-winning program, your Bible reading program? Does he rejoice with you on Monday morning when things aren't going so well on the job? You know, it's easy to be good between 11 and 12 on Sunday in the sanctuary. But what about Monday and Tuesday? Does God rejoice over you? Are you a royal diadem in his hand? Are you a crown of glory in the hand of the great God of the universe? The second word is the word Beulah. And that word means married. How many of you are married this morning? How many of you are not married, but you'd like to get married? Let's see your hand. One young lady. Oh, two. One over here. I'm sorry. One back here. Two. Well, that's a little boy raised his hand. I don't know what he knows what he's talking about. How many of you are married? No, I better not go into that. But here's the application. Now watch this. The application of both of these words, the Lord delights in you, and the word married, they both apply to your relationship and mine to Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you two questions. Number one, I've already asked it, but I want you to hear it again. Does God delight in you? Number two, are you married to Jesus Christ? If you're saved, you can say yes to the second question. You are married to him. If you're saved and not living the kind of life you ought to live, you probably couldn't say yes. The Lord rejoices. The Lord delights in me. But I hope before this service is over that God will delight in all of us. The relationship that's set forth between a husband and wife is the perfect example of the relationship that exists between Christ and his bride. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 11:2. Here's what Paul says. For I am jealous, now watch this, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. Now hear what Paul is saying. I have put you in a place of engagement to be married to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's what we are, ladies and gentlemen. Listen now. We are, as a body of believers, a chaste virgin, presented, espoused, engaged, married, if you please, to Jesus Christ. Now watch the relationship that Paul draws between the husband and the wife in Ephesians chapter 5 at verses 31 and 32. You listen as I read. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now don't miss this. This is a great mystery, Paul writes, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what is he saying? As a husband and wife are bound together by the laws of God for a lifetime, so we are bound to Christ by a new law, the law of love. Don't you love your husband, Jesus Christ, this morning? Don't you love the bridegroom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You are married to him. You are bound to him for eternity. And in the Revelation 21, in verse 9, John says, and there came unto me one of the angels, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Ladies and gentlemen, as a part of the bride of Christ. We are dressed in the white robe of His righteousness. Not all our filthy robes. Don't the choir look good in these robes this morning? Covers up a multitude of sin. I mean, covers up a lot of things. But can you imagine, now can you imagine this? Just put this picture in your mind this morning. Tens of millions of millions of myriads of myriads of people dressed in white robes standing before the Lamb. And we ascribe unto Him all power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For He alone is worthy. For He has redeemed us in His blood from all of our sins and has washed us and made us clean in His own blood. Can you imagine? There's a picture like that this morning in heaven. John said, I saw the bride of the Lamb all dressed up in righteousness. You know, folks, I've been performing weddings for 44 years. Some of that was in my other life. I'm just 29. You understand that. But listen to me. I've never seen an ugly bride. Now, after it's all over. But I mean, I've never seen an ugly bride. Now, I've seen some ugly bridegrooms. I'm going to tell you something that just... But I'm going to tell you, I never saw an ugly bride. So let me say to you today, as the bride of Christ, with this relationship, we are married. I've entitled my message, Dwelling in Beulah Land. You sang it a while ago. Wasn't that good? Feasting on a mountain, drinking at a fountain. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Dwelling in, now here's what that means. Now take this interpretation of it. Dwelling in Beulah Land means we are living in marital bliss with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. How's your marriage? I'm talking about your spiritual marriage. I know about the rest of it. I'm talking about your spiritual marriage this morning. Are you, as a part of the bride, submitted, committed, totally surrendered to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ? Can you say the words you sang a while ago, I'm living on a mountain, I'm drinking at the fountain, I'm feasting on the manna? Can you really, honestly, truthfully say you're living in marital bliss with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom? Remember, Beulah means married, dwelling in married land, in marital bliss with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. There are several things that I want you to see living in Beulah land. Number one, in Beulah land we find refuge in the Rock of Ages. Turn with me to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I said, living in Beulah land, we find refuge in the Rock of Ages. Psalm 61 says, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, now watch it, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Ladies and gentlemen, living in Beulah land, we are in the Rock of Ages. We find our refuge. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Psalm 62, just across the page at verse 5. My soul, wait thou upon only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Dwelling in Beulah land, we find refuge in the Rock of Ages. Second thing I want you to note, dwelling in Beulah land, we feast from the manna that's from on high, from heaven. Turn to John chapter 6, the Gospel according to John chapter 6. I want you to look beginning at verse 31. I said, not only in Beulah land do we find a refuge in the Rock of Ages, but in Beulah land we feast on the manna from heaven. Our fathers did eat manna, John 6, 31 says, in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isn't that good? Feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, an inexhaustible supply. We're feasting on Jesus today, who is the true bread from heaven. Dwelling in Beulah land, I see a third thing that I want to share with you. We drink from the fountain of living water. Turn just a page over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. We are finding refuge, remember, in the Rock of Ages, dwelling in Beulah land. We're also feasting on the manna from heaven, and we are drinking from the fountain of living water. Listen to what Jesus said, verse 37, John chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't it good when we're spiritually thirsty, we can just go to the fountain of living waters and take a drink? You remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, who had come to draw water in the middle of the day, who had had five husbands, and the man she lived with was not her husband. And Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you fountain, a whole fountain, a whole river, if you please. I would have given you living water. You draw out of this well, Jacob's well, and drink, and you thirst again. But if you drink from the fountain that I opened to you, you will never thirst anymore. And the Bible closes out in Revelation 22 at verse 17 with words like these, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's yours just for asking. Lord, I thirst. He gives you to drink. Lord, I'm hungry. He gives you to eat. Dwelling in Beulah land. There's something more. The fourth thing that I would call to your attention, in Beulah land, we rest in the peace of our Savior. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a troubled world today. Did you realize there's some 40 wars going on somewhere in the world today while we sit in the comfort of this sanctuary? Some 40 wars are going on. And as I said to the people Wednesday night, talking about the kingdom of Christ that's coming upon the earth, a literal kingdom with its capital, Jerusalem, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the real struggle is not in Bosnia It's not down in Guatemala or Brazil or over in China or the former Soviet Union or the former Eastern bloc of nations in Europe. You know where the target is? You know where the conflict is? Jerusalem. I will gather all nations together against Jerusalem, the Bible says. So that's where the conflict is today. Jerusalem is the target of every nation under the sun. All the nations want to get their fingers in the pie in Jerusalem. Why? Because God said, that's where I'm going to dwell. Now, they don't understand it for that, but that's the reason. That's where I'm going to be. My son is going to be. His kingdom is going to be. From the throne of David, he'll rule over all the world. And peace shall cover the earth like waters cover the sea. In all the history of the world, there have been less than 300 years of peace. And by the way, the absence of war is not necessarily peace. Oh, by the way, some of you this morning, you've got a war going on in your soul. The devil is pulling you in one direction and God's pulling you in another direction, and there's a conflict, there's a war, and you're unsettled and there's not any peace. Listen to me, you can have peace this morning. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, the people out there in the world, they don't understand why you got up this morning and came to Sunday school. Man, this is a day for fun and frolic. Didn't you know that? What are you doing in church? Why, this is the only day you have to rest. You work every day hard. This is the only day you have to go to the fair. This is the only day you have to go golfing. This is the only day you have to go fishing. This is the only day you have to cut your grass. What are you doing in church? People don't understand that. They don't understand why you're going to come back tonight. Hello? Amen. And Wednesday night. And go soul winning and give your tithe and read the Bible and talk about you. They don't understand that. But you know what? You've got a peace in your heart that motivates you to do it that passes all the understanding of the world. They don't understand it, but you do, because the peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, that wonderful, 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 wonderful peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul puts it this way, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. How many of you do a little worrying once in a while? Let's see your hand. Come on now, folks. Everybody in this place worries once in a while. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By the way, let me put it on pause right there. When you got down to ask God for health, strength, job, money, whatever, did you thank him for what he'd already done? Look at it again. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here it is. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what if war does come? So what if depression comes? What if death comes? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What if all the perils and problems and difficulties and trials and pressures, what if you lose your job, lose your health, lose your teeth, lose your hair? By the way, when you've lost all those, you don't have anything to worry about in that area anymore. Isn't it good? It's a win-win situation, folks. You can't lose. Why? Because the peace of God, in spite of war, in spite of depression, in spite of personal conflicts, in spite of pressures, problems, heartaches, disease, cancer, death, and all the rest, in spite of it all, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. They'll keep your hearts and minds. You know what that word keep means? It means like you station a garrison of soldiers around your heart, and the peace of God is locked in, and he can't get out, and the devil can't get in. Isn't that good? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's one more I want you to notice as we dwell in Beulah Land. We patiently wait for the return of our Lord. You know, the next great event on God's timetable is the coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, let me tell you how to wait. He says, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, I want you to notice this. And you Wednesday night students, you ought to already know this, because I dealt with it a number of Wednesday nights ago. Now, listen. The next great event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church, the coming of Jesus Christ to take his own out of the world. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long it we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm waiting. Just like Paul said, wait for his Son. Now, when he comes to rapture the church, the awesome period of wrath, of tribulation, sometimes called in the Bible the hour of temptation, is coming upon the world. The time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. Listen again, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come is the awesome period of the tribulation. He's going to deliver us from it when he comes. And here's his promise. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I've read some translations that said, in my Father's house are many rooms. Now, I want to tell you something. I've told you this before. But if you don't know the difference between a room and a mansion, I don't want you for my real estate dealer. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and inasmuch as I go and prepare a place for you, I will, determinate sense, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody said, well, Pastor, where is heaven? Wherever Jesus is. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I be, if he is there. I'm not worried too much about where it is. I'm worried about who's there. He is there, wherever he is. And so Paul writes in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once delivered to bear the sins of many. Now watch it. And unto them that look for him shall he appear of a second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back. Are you dwelling in Beulah land? Are you a royal diadem in the hand of Christ? Are you a crown of glory in the hand of Christ? Are you living in marital bliss with Jesus? Have you made your choice? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my God, my Savior, and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until its raptures all abroad. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. High heaven that heard the solemn vow, that vow renewed shall daily hear, till in life's latest hour I bow and bless in death a bond so dear. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I want you to know I'm happy. Are you living in marital bliss? Let's stand for our prayer. While our heads are bowed, please, every eye closed, everybody praying, asking God for guidance, for direction in your life. I want to remind you again, if you need an altar and want to come right now, you do not have to wait until we have a prayer and sing and go through that. Just step out of your seat right now and come on to the front. If you need an altar prayer, come on right now. But I want to ask you, with every head bowed this morning, and nobody's going to put you on the spot, nobody's going to embarrass you. How many of you could say this morning, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. That's all I'm asking you. I know that I'm saved. Put your hand up. You know you're saved. Put it up real high if you know you're saved. Oh, God bless you. Maybe one or two, a few that could not. Who would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand then. I don't know that I'm saved. I have a question mark about it, but I want blessed assurance so that I can say, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. You'd put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. Would you? Put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody? Now, let me ask you another question. This isn't designed to embarrass you, but who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, but I don't know that God is really delighting in my life this morning. Maybe something there that ought not to be an attitude, an unforgiving spirit, a bitter spirit, an unkind spirit, a habit, a thought, a deed, whatever it might be. Pastor, I don't believe God's delighting in my life like I want Him to delight in my life. Would you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God to delight. God bless you. Oh, there's scores of hands. God bless you. God bless you all over. God bless you. Thank you. Who would say this morning, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm happy in the Lord and I trust that God's happy with me, but I'm looking for a church home. I need a place to worship and serve the Lord. Would you please pray with me, Pastor, that God would give me direction in my life in this area? Would you put your hand up and let us pray with you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you down here. You may put your hands back down. God bless you. Now, listen very carefully. I want everybody who lifted your hand, please. And I know that I'm not talking to you who raised your hand about church membership unless you plan to come, but all the others. And I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. But let me make it clear. If you lifted your hand about a spiritual need in your life, I want you to step out of your seat and come and let God fill it. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Please. Many, many people raise their hands. Dear God, would you put it in their hearts right now? Just step right out of their seat, get the neighbors to excuse them, and come right to the front and say, Dear Lord, I want you to be able to rejoice and delight in my life as I rejoice in marital bliss in the Savior. Father, help them to do it today. And those who did lift their hands about membership or any other need, help them to step out right now in Jesus' name.